to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him, his. I'm a queer, political, actor, activist, comedian, Cancerian, self-proclaimed, sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by another fabulous minority where we tackle the news, pop culture, politics, media, history, and more, all with a little self-care and self-love sprinkled throughout. Happy Pride! Woo! Yes, it is Pride Week. Oh my gosh, it's my queer Christmas for myself. It's going to be a little bit different this year, won't it? But doesn't mean that we can't still celebrate our history, our culture, where we've been, and where we are going. So you might be seeing the rainbow flag waving around your town. I hope so, and if not, better put up that flag for your town. But do you know the history of the Pride flag? Like, what does it really mean? Where does it come from? Do the colors mean anything? Well, for this week's MK Rewind, we are going back to our exploration of the history of the Pride flag and what it all means. You know, when we did this episode back in 2018, it was right on the heels of Philadelphia when they were doing their Pride. They introduced a new Pride flag that had new colors on it that was purposely addressing intersectionality for Black and Brown folks. And boy, did it create a stir. There was a controversy around that, and that inspired us going to this conversation around the Pride flag, which by its history actually lends itself to adapting towards the needs of its community. So you're going to find out what I mean, and also just an inspiring thing that happened, that one queer individual, how they really made the White House celebrate Pride. So it's a really great sort of fun reminder in these times that can feel so dark, and how our community is just so badass and always able to stick it politically, from our flags to our protests to our style of dress. So let's get into it. This is this week's MK Rewind, the history of the Pride flag.
She's a grand old flag. She's a grand old flag. Flag, 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 flag,
flag, flag, flag, flag, flag, flag, flag it up. To flag it up. I'm saying flag, not fag, but you could say it in both if you do claim that. You could fag that flag it up.
All right.
Up to you. I personally don't use that. I don't use that word, but if that is your way of reclaiming it, I'm not going to stand in your way. Because I have other things to do as a liberated queer black homosexual. Yes. That's a lot of titles I gave myself.
I know. That is why we are all about intersectionality.
All about it. So last, it was 2 weeks ago, by the time you're listening to this, 2 weeks ago, Philadelphia was having its pride and having its gay old queer old time.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia had unleashed a new flag upon the world.
So okay.
This flag had, in addition to the other colors that you usually see on the rainbow flag, it had both a black and brown stripe on it.
All right.
And so most folks would just be like, okay, all right, I see that. Okay, that's different. Why was it there? And you would then find out from folks like Amber Hikes, who's the head of Philadelphia's Office of LGBT Affairs. And there was a spokesperson who pretty much said, you know, the black and brown stripes are an inclusionary way to highlight black and brown LGBTQIA members within our community.
Love it.
So it's pretty much a way to acknowledge. And so, you know, with all of the black and brown activism that's worked to address racism in the gayborhood over the past year, I think the new flag is a great way forward for the city to show the world that we're working toward fully supporting all members of our community.
Right, especially since black and brown members tend to be targeted more.
Interesting you should say that. So most folks, just to walk through this, like most people would just kind of hear that exclamation. You might question it and just be like, oh, okay. Oh, that's why you did it. Okay.
Yeah.
And especially because Philadelphia has had some issues with racial discrimination over the past, especially when it comes to Pride.
Mm.
They've had like, I think it was last year at Philadelphia, there was a club that was like whites only or something. It was some sort of craziest.
Ew, what the fuck?
So more the reason that perhaps this flag might be, this addition to the flag might be, you know, some needed, right?
Necessary.
Yeah, I mean, especially when, so most, and I have found out about this from like, I was listening to some classical music. I was listening to, who's that? Some Carnegie Hall. Who's like a big fancy symphony people in New York? Who damn?
The Philharmonic.
Yes, New York Philharmonic. Look at you. She knows it all. Let's listen to the Philharmonic in Central Park. And sitting there. And
wait.
What?
What? Can I tell a real quick sidebar? Just real quick.
What? Yeah, what is it? What's going on?
We were so when James was in town, we were driving in the car. And James was like, let me do this. He was like, I got some good shit for you to listen to. Normally, James has like makes me listen to like some hip hop music and makes me young again.
Or the latest like pop sensation that you need to, you know.
And so he puts it on. And first, it's hella quiet. I'm like, what is this? And then all of a sudden, I hear some flutes, and then I hear some timpani, and it's some fucking...
It was Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, which is one of my favorites. It calms me down and makes me feel like I am on cloud nine. I love me some classical music. Secrets of James.
It was good.
Outing me out in the second year anniversary. Right. Anyways, so I'm in...
Now we're back to you listening to classical
in
music.
In Central Park, listen to the Philharmonic, as you do in the summertime. And two of my friends, I had not heard about this, and they wanted to get my opinion immediately. Now, this is, so I then became the spokesperson.
Immediately, now!
I've never even heard about this. I became the spokesperson for, you know, LGBT blacks. And I've been very spoiled, because recently in New York, most of my friends who are LGBT have been mostly, have a very diverse, because there's so much diversity here that I don't have, it's very, not often for me just be hanging out with, like, you know, a bunch of white dudes or something, or white gays, you know?
Right.
So I then had to become like the spokesperson, and I guess like there was one comment on one person who had commented on I know, don't read the comments, but someone had commented on like unicorn booty or something, and he like his comment is like the one at the very top, because all these folks keep liking it, because for him, you know, he's like, well, I'm black, and he's like, you know, there's no, where's the white stripe at? And he's like, you know, let it be a rainbow. And he's like, you know, there's no trans stripe, there's no abled stripe, you know. For him, he sees it as it is just targeting. He feels like he's being targeted.
Oh, because none of the other colors represent anything.
I can see that. Now, before, I want to put a pin in this, and let's just like...
Okay, yeah. We'll talk.
What the fuck is this flag? Where did it come from? What's the history of it? Well, first of all, calm your mouth, young lady. We're talking
about... Oh, that was me saying that?
Yeah, that was you. It's okay. What the fuck is this flag? Where the fuck did it come from? Okay. Hold on, I got you.
Whew, I was angry. I was upset. I needed to know.
I'm transforming you. This time, okay. I'm Miss Sizzle.
Frizzle, Miss Sizzle, take me on the magic school bus.
We're now in 1970, and we meet a young geeky kid from Kansas named Gilbert Baker. He was an Army draftee, and he had been discharged in San Francisco around the 1970s, like many folks in the military at the time. One of the reasons why San Francisco became such a hotbed of gay men specifically was because all these folks were being gay in the military, and the military's like, get the fuck out of here. And they were being sent from, I guess, Vietnam, and they'd be right in San Francisco, and they didn't want to go home because of shame of why they were discharged from the military.
Oh, wow, I did not know this.
Things to know that. And so then, you're hearing, if you're like in Kansas and you're hearing, or some other parts of the country, like there's a lot of gay activity happening, you start flocking there.
Yeah, it's like a mecca. You go there.
Yeah, it is the bat signal to the promised land has shown. So in 1974, Gilbert Baker, he met Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk, you know, he was elected to San Francisco Board of Supervisors. And Harvey Milk championed him to make some sort of a symbol. Because at the time, folks were using the pink triangle. And as we know, the pink triangle was used from the concentration camp. So we wanted a new sort of symbol.
More uplifting, I guess.
Yes. And so Baker, Gilbert Baker, he began dyeing fabrics himself. And he came up with these different colors. There was hot pink, which stood for sexuality.
Oh, they do have themes.
Oh, yeah. Hot pink stands for sexuality. Red stands for life. Orange for healing. Yellow for the sun, green for nature, turquoise for blue. Turquoise blue for art.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say turquoise for blue. Come on.
He was just not a stress there.
He's like, turquoise, I don't know.
Turquoise blue for art.
Yeah.
Indigo for harmony and violet for spirit.
That's nice.
Yeah. So what had happened, though, so that was the flag, and he felt so inspired seeing we were having a flag. He was like, it was an instant, like a bolt of lightning, that this was their flag, our flag. It belonged to all of us. It was the most thrilling moment of my life, because I knew right then that this was the most important thing I would ever do, that my whole life was going to be about me making the rainbow flag.
That's good. I always thought it was from like the Friends of Dorothy in the whole Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but I was wrong. So that's kind of cool. I love that.
This is why we have these little get-togethers. Mm-hmm. And then in 1978, at the Gay Freedom Day Parade, because that's what it used to be called back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And that was, of course, then. But these days, all the festivities, it should be called Queer Pride.
Oh.
Yeah, so if your city is calling it a gay pride, go knock on someone's door, and it should be.
Excuse me, knock, knock, knock.
Yeah, not all of us are just gay here, right? Mm-hmm. So, so he had approached this company called the Paramount Flag Company to mass produce the flags, but the fuchsia fabric was not readily available. So it was originally had 8 colors, and it then only had 7. So there was a 7-stripe version. And then they just decided at the last minute. Oh, and I guess like the Order of Rainbow for Girls, which is a Masonic organization for young women.
What is that?
They also were going to have this as their flag, but the flags ended up getting used for Gay Pride for the Freedom Day Pride. And then the Order of Rainbow for Girls decided to not use the flag anymore.
That sounds like some spooky Illuminati shit. Masonic Rainbow Order for Girls. Okay, yeah. Anyway,
the flag went
to the rightful owner.
So then after the assassination of Harvey Milk, we still needed some sort of a symbol. And so we went back to the rainbow flag, and it began in 1979. It was flown up the light poles along both sides of Market Street in 1979 for the Gay Freedom Day parade there. And they split the colors onto 2 flags, flying each of the 3 striped flags on an alternate side of the street. And then they eliminated the indigo stripe to make an even 6 colors. So then it went from, remember, originally it was going to be 8, and then it was down to 7, and then it was down to 6. So what I'm saying is that this flag is literally, even in the history of this flag, it's malleable.
Yeah, it's been changing.
And I have friends of mine. I think I've met Gilbert. I know my friends, two of my best friends have met Gilbert, and I'm not sure I'm not sure if I met him or I just remember them telling me about meeting him. I can't remember. My life is, whirlwind.
You're just a man on the go. You just don't know when you're coming or going and who you're meeting, even if they've created the flag.
Who are you? What? I can't be bothered. I gotta keep going. Beyonce had a baby.
Stop it.
So, but and also, I think, like, this is why it's so important, I think, of, like, what it is that we do when we have these little get-togethers and have these conversations and rehash history, because what people forget is that back in the height of the AIDS epidemic, the Freedom Pride parades actually added a black stripe onto the flag.
They did.
To symbolize, right?
Wow. So
this flag is constantly...
You can constantly change it to adapt to what the current issue is, and if, okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. My thing goes back to, you know, because my first gut reaction was, I feel like this is a lot of, you know, possibly white gay men being upset about a flag. And then there was this comment from this one black guy. And of course, it got the most likes
because
this one guy was saying something that vibed with what they were saying. And I think you're missing the point. And some were saying, like, you know, I feel like some white gays were saying, you know, oh, this is just, you know, for them, they felt like it was well-meaning white people trying to be inclusive, but doing it in the wrong way. And
but
I say, like, at least they're trying. What are you doing? Like, at least they're trying to make efforts to make something that's more inclusionary. And the fact that this is being a huge debate and a huge conversation means that we probably do need to have it on the flag for right now. And because clearly that there was a need for it, there was a want for it, there was a desire for it. I mean, let's look at something too. marriage equality passed as a civil rights issue because it affected white people. How do I know that? How do I know that for a fact? We still don't have prison reform. We still don't have immigration reform because it does not affect white folks in the disproportionate amount that with marriage equality, it was like, oh, white people are being affected by it. We need to get this passed. Meanwhile, we still have all these fucking, you know, homeless youth.
Right. It's so true. You bring up such a good point where it's like, I feel like this is synonymous with if you don't like the black and brown stripe on the flag, you are all lives mattering it.
Yes.
You are not understanding that there is a crucial epidemic happening right now, especially within the queer community where, I mean, isn't like the highest number of deaths in the trans community, isn't it? Black women?
Yep, it is black and brown trans women have the highest rates. That's a thing too, but like by putting black and brown stripes on there. And like honestly at the end of the day, I don't care. It's a fucking flag.
It's like it's a novelty thing.
So I'm just kind of like, for me, it's like just trying to shut down the debate of like, let this flag fucking fly. If you don't like it, then and it's not, no one's saying you have to adopt this flag, and that's not your flag, and that's fine, right?
But you know what? If you have a problem with it, maybe you should look at your implicit bias and why you have a problem with it.
And I think that's the conversation that some people are missing. And I think like this flag, it can't be too precious. Because I think when you make anything too precious, like that's when you get things like the Bible. The Bible's too precious, right?
Yep.
Like it can't adapt, it can't breathe, it can't transform, it can't grow. And to me, queerness is about transformation. It's about transvolving over normatives and limits and expectations and constantly redefining.
Yes.
That's a trouble in saying that this flag must stay stagnant, because 200 years from now, the conversation might might evolve and symbols and things like that should be able to transform with that.
Oh, I completely agree with you 100%. Like anytime we start thinking that we can't have any change, look at old rules. Mm-hmm. You wanted marriage equality. Who was out there making sure that didn't change? You know, I think I love that you brought up the fact that during the AIDS epidemic, there was the black stripe on the flag, because I think the flag should be used as a way to pointing out the current events and the current fucking issues that's happening. So it stays present in our mind. And you know what? If somebody wants to celebrate and uplift black and brown people, what's wrong with that?
Absolutely. And that's all it was. And it was Philadelphia doing, because they had, you know, they had some questionable things happening with their pride. And that fact that like black and brown folks did not probably feel included at their pride. I mean, there is a separate, I mean, I guess it makes sense, but there's, you know, there's the Oakland has its own pride in there as well. And a lot of black and brown folks feel more comfortable at Oakland Pride than they do San Francisco Pride because of a very similar thing. The fact that people are still listing their racial preferences on Grindr and Scruff is probably maybe a reason why maybe for one, while this conversation is still happening, to remind people that like we need to have like just it's bringing the conversation and awareness to it. And I also just think like too, it's like, I mean, y'all are worrying about a fucking flag. Like to me, that just speaks of like such privilege. The fact that like people are able to get so up in arms, like that's your issue. I'm sorry. As a black queer man, I got other things that I need to focus on.
There are way better things that you can attend your energy towards.
How cute that you get to stamp your feet at people within your own community. Right. Like, that's the problem. Excuse me, but Betsy DeVos just said that states should be allowed to decide whether their schools can discriminate against LGBTQ students. So that's where your focus and attention should be.
Yes.
There is anti-LGBT legislation being passed consistently. Trump is not standing for the queers.
You're concerned about two extra colors on a flag.
Yeah, absolutely. Which like has no effect onto you, but will mean probably so much for other black and brown people who felt ousted from their communities, from their homes.
Right.
That they will actually feel included into something. And I would also say too, is that it kind of makes sense too, because it's like, honestly, so much of gay culture, queer culture stems from black and brown queer folks. You know,
right? So anything, like we were talking about ball culture, Paris is burning, all the language that's coming from literally everything on RuPaul's Drag Race is from black and Latinx fucking culture. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
There's words that most people are saying nowadays that stem from these folks who don't get any credit for what they have created. Even the music, the fashion, the culture, the language they have formed our literal pop cultural zeitgeist. And if anything, this flag is saying thank you. We acknowledge that. We appreciate it.
Yes.
And like you were saying too, black and brown queer folks are most are at high risk for HIV, higher rates for homelessness, and being murder.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep,
have some fucking solidarity. I think it's a great idea to, like, one day down the line, we won't need to have the black and brown stripes, but maybe right now, and if it means something to somebody else, let them do it. And if it, like, and it does not harm or affect you at all if you're offended by it.
Literally does not affect you. I'm just gonna say this and people can take it for what it will. If you have a problem with the inclusion of the black and brown stripe on the flag, then you need to check yourself because you have racist tendencies. And that's it.
No, yeah, and you know what? If you do not remember the song, what was the other half of that? Check yourself. You're gonna wreck yourself.
Like, I know.
You guys, oh my God, I'm concerned. I am concerned.
Know.
I just want to start running up to these people. You're gonna wreck yourself.
I know. What are you doing? Check yourself!
Ah! I do want to end on a positive sort of uplifting note. I know that you saw this too, but I wanted to touch on, there was that a positive note in terms of Pride specifically, because I remember last week I said that the White House wasn't celebrating Pride.
Right.
Well, someone made them.
Yes, I saw this. Yes. Tell the listeners.
What was his name? Nikos Giannopoulos, who teacher of the year, I believe.
Yes.
And he got to go to the White House, and you know, he wore his gay pride. Wore a gay pride pen. He gayed it up. Essentially, what he did. He didn't wear a tie. He wore like this like fancy little like
silver necklace,
and he had a fan.
And he had.
He had a fan.
Yeah.
And in his photo, it's like him standing with like that man and Melania and his kidnapped woman or whatever. And he's got that fan like popped out. And
it's so good.
There was a story about how they asked him about it. And he was like, like he loved it. I popped it out when I opened, he said, I popped it open when I walked into the office because I'm a very sassy person. Also, sidebar, I just want to just quote and notice too, just to analyze everything that's going on. This guy is white.
Right.
And even that term sassy, like that is from black. Like, not saying you can't use it and have it. I'm just saying
thanks.
Where does this come from? Yes. Right. And even just like give the fan, thanks. Like all of it, you know, but
fan is ball culture.
Do your thing. But I just want to make sure that we're seeing where things are coming from, where I'm talking about. Anyways, he says, I'm a very sassy person. And Trump complimented it right away. He said, I love the fan. And he told me I had great style. Then when I was ushered in for my private photo with the president and Melania, I was told I should put it away. So I just folded it up and held it up on my side. But when it came time for the photo, I just asked the president, hey, do you mind if I use the fan for the photo? He said, absolutely, go for it. So I popped my fan and did my pose.
See, that is the way to do it. And also, I just want to point out that he's a special education teacher, which is give him props.
He is doing the Lord's work on that one, because that is, you know, and probably incredibly underfunded. Betsy DeVos.
Underfunded. I mean, being a teacher in general and especially, is fucking...
And if you were anything but what certain probably folks want at that cream of that crop, good luck getting any sort of fucking funding, right?
I know, right? So... Good on you.
And that's just the thing is that, like,
I love
and
that.
I want us to, like, you can't stop progress. We end up winning the awards and we have to come up to the White House anyways. Like, you can't shut us out. You can't shut us down.
No.
We're over fucking achievers. If you're a minority or on any sort, we're working hard because we're kind of crazy in the head because society is just trying to, like, kill us and tell us we're not good enough. So we're pushing through all of this shit. So you can't shut us down. We're going to be at the White House anyways, popping our fans, duck walking. Yep. doing our thing.
You know what? I love that because my first inclination would be like, no, I don't want to go to the fucking White House. Mm-hmm. But I love the idea of going to the White House and being visibly who you are as a form of just saying we're not going anywhere.
I agree.
Which is excellent.
I agree. What a beautiful form. Because I would have thought the same thing. I would have, you know, but, you know, next time I'm invited to the White House, I'm going to go, but I'm going to fold up my arms. I'm going to wear a big ass rainbow flag. I'll have a Black Lives Matter t-shirt on. I'll have
a shirt that says blackety black. Blackety black, 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 black.
I'll have a pussy hat on. I'll be wearing so much. I'll be like this giant.
You'll just be tchotchke man.
I will be tchotchke man, a dingle dangle. And I will have my arms just crossed. I will just be in all those photos or, you know, like anything. And so it's like, I think now that maybe some of the hurt from the election has waned, now it's like, all right, my country tis a V. I don't know the rest of the words, but like taking it back. So. There it is. If I had a fan, I'd pop it. But happy Pride, get over the flag. The flag is a symbol, not the movement.
Right. Thank you.
Somebody, your father or mine, should have told us that not many people have ever died of love. But multitudes have perished and are perishing every hour and in the oddest places for the lack of it. That was a quote from author James Baldwin, one of my heroes. The perfect person to quote as we go into our week celebrating all things queer and fabulousness, our history, where we are, and where we are going. Just because we're in the middle of a pandemic does not mean that we can't still celebrate this week and reflect and push that needle that much more forward. And it really does come down to love. That really what it is, letting people love who they want to love and loving themselves and just unconditionally loving others, even though you don't agree, just let it be. Hey, I just said a little rhyme. So actually, really honestly, to wrap up this episode, it seems really fitting to revisit this week. I was going back and forth of what to do for Pride Week. There's been, you know, so many great corners that we've done, and I decided to go with this one just because there were these different posts that I was seeing, not from me and my social media community, thank goddess, but other people were sharing what white gays were sharing in their social media feeds. And there was there was harumphump over Juneteenth becoming a holiday, with people saying, sorry, black people, you have a month. You don't get to have pride. You don't get to have, you know, Pride Month as well. And it's just with a heavy sigh, I'm almost exhausted at this point where I just don't even have words. I can't Michelle Pfeiffer this. I can't sit this person in a chair and teach them. That's a person who doesn't seem like they're even willing to learn. It's negating the intersectionality of their very own queer community. The origins of Pride, which 'twas a protest initiated by trans women of color. And speaking of, actually, that was going to be the episode that we're going to do for the MK Rewind. We're going to revisit from episode 4, where there was going to be a movie, well, it came out, this movie called Stonewall, and it was about Stonewall, kind of, but really just focused on this, like, you know, white gay guy, and kind of sidelined, you know, folks like Marsha P. Johnson, who is, you know, rumored to have thrown the first heel. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's for this week's episode. Anyways, what I was going to do for this week's rewind was going to talk about those historical mothers of the movement, Sylvia Rivera, Marsha P. Johnson, that we talked about in episode 4. But I've decided, you know, in honor of Pride, I want to dive back in to those great figures. So this week, on Friday, in celebration of Pride, and there's been so much great media to come out about Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera and other pioneers. So we're going to have Avi is coming back. Was here back in January on the pod. I'm excited to celebrate Pride with Avi here. And we're just going to have our own little Pride Parade here on Friday. It's going to be fabulous. It's going to be lovely. Get your boas, get your protest sign, get your whistles, get your short shorts, get your glitter pants. It's going to be great. And maybe this episode of this week will help those, you know, lost white gays out there who've forgotten their community's roots. And it's sort of like that moment when I'm seeing, when people are posting these things, it's like, again, it's not enough to not just say, I'm not a racist. We must be anti-racist. We must shut it down. And by harumphumping black folks for having a Juneteenth, you are missing the point. And I would actually categorize that as a racist statement, because it is antagonizing a group and community that is systemically being oppressed against.
and is standing and continues to uphold ideas of white supremacy. So white, gay, whoever you are, or if you hear statements like that, that's racist. And it needs to be the other side of it. And it's okay to call that out because that's how we can stop it. Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he doesn't realize. Maybe you'll see. So if you see that, please don't be shy. Speak out. Michelle Pfeiffer it. Educate the kids. Oh, sidebar. We're talking about pride flags. My favorite flag that I like to use is the combination of the new black and brown flag with the black and brown stripes on it with the trans flag incorporated on it. And if you've seen it, and it's got like an arrow and it's got movement to it. And I really feel like that is the queer flag, in my opinion. It's got an arrow. It just feels so inclusive. So that's the flag that I like to wave around and wave. What's yours? Also, question for y'all. If you were invited to the White House, would you go? And what would you do? What would you wear? If you were invited to the White House with this current Agent Orange in office, what would you go? What would you wear? What would you do? Let me know on the social medias. You can tweet at me at JamesArthur_M or at Minority Corner. Also, shameless plug, but no, there's no shame. Prideful plug. This is pride. I'm going to be prideful. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, June 23rd, it's my birthday. Woo! Feel free to send me some love on the social medias. It's an interesting time for those of you who've had birthdays during shelter in place during the coronavirus. It's very interesting. I love birthdays. I think everyone deserves to celebrate their birthday because it's your day. We are each and every one of us literally walking miracles. Every day is such a gift. You have a 1 in 1 trillion chance of even being born. You think about all the things that had to happen for you to be here in this moment. And if you're celebrating a birthday, not everybody got to that age that you are. Whatever age you are, not everybody got there. Not everybody was as fortunate. So definitely celebrate your birthdays. Feel free to say hi to me on the social medias. I will appreciate it so incredibly much. You can also join in the fun at the Minority Corner Kids Playground. That's where the magic is happening at. That's out in Facebook. There's new people joining in every day. Some really great conversations. I'm loving it. People are asking questions. I feel like it's just safe space. People are sharing stories. It's my favorite part of Facebook, so join on in. Don't be shy. Feel free to share. It's absolutely a safe space there. We're also on Instagram. Oh, and if you are already a Maximum Fun member, hello, members. And if you have not already added Minority Corner to one of the shows that you listen to, feel free to. We'd love to know that we are one of the shows that you are listening to as a member. You help keep the show going. Also, it helps to keep the show going. Reviews. There's been so many wonderful reviews written. It's just such a beautiful thing. In fact, let's read one of them. So this week's review of the week comes from, the title says Eye-Opener 5 stars, and it says Ekarg Smada. You know who you are. Well, you said, absolutely in love with this podcast. After listening to the Feed Drop episode, I had to go back into the archives, and wow, I have learned so much. Every episode reveals truths I didn't see prior and pushes for tangible action. After every episode, I feel empowered to step up, speak up, listen, and make changes in my community. I'm so glad I was exposed to this platform for growth and change. Thank you, Minority Corner. Hey, thank you for writing that amazing review and for listening to this podcast. Because without you all who are listening, it's just me recording myself and then listening to myself. So I'm glad that you all are here as well. And we're talking about Twitter. Let's see what's going on the Twitterscape and read the tweet of the week. Okay, this tweet of the week comes from at Nearsighted Puka. They said, shout out to at Minority Corner for educating me on Tulsa, Juneteenth, and the richest little black girl in U.S. history. Y'all are so funny and great and really motivate me to talk to my parents more about the systemic racism in police forces. My mom is even educating her friends. Oh my gosh, I'm getting such warm fuzzies from you all. It's the ripple effect. We are doing the work. We are making the change happen. You are doing it. Yeah, y'all are just giving me such fire and such love. I'm feeling it. So there is the show. We'll have a brand spanking new. Why do people say that? Like you spank it? I don't get it. We're going to spank that new episode this week right there on Friday. So I love you all so much. Stay safe out there. Happy Pride. We'll be back on Friday. Thank you all so much for listening to Minority Corner, because together we're the majority.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.